Okay, Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes. Okay, so we learned yesterday about the fourth creature. And the fourth creature is not given a name. It's not described as a, like the three previous creatures, of being a lion, a bear, and a leopard. This fourth creature, we do not have a precise description. And Chazal tell us it looked like a pig, and it had 10 horns. And then from the 10 horns suddenly came out a 11th horn, a small 11th horn. And this 11th horn developed eyes and a mouth and spoke with extreme gaiva. And in the process, three of the 10 original horns fell out. And that's where we're up to. Pasuk Tes, Chozei Haveis, I saw this vision. Adi Chor Savon Rimiv, until a chair, a throne, was cast down from heaven. It was set up. Rimiv means either to establish, or it means to come down. It means the same thing. A throne came down from heaven. The Atikyo Min Yisiv, and a person who was appeared to be a Zokein Muflok. Atikyo Min means, Atik means old Yomin. Very, very old. Yisiv sat on the throne. Levushei Kislok Chivar. His clothing was like white snow. Okay, that's very interesting. Why it has to say chivar? Chivar means white. Kislog is snow. Snow, by definition, is white. So what's the repetition? I do not know. There must be some significance. Maybe there's snow that's not white. But it was white like snow. Usa'are sheka amar nike. And the hair of his head was like clean wool. Karsiye shivivin. The throne was made from sparks of fire. Di nur shivin means sparks. Di of nur, fire. Gal gi lohi, the wheels of this throne. The throne had wheels. We don't normally think of a chair having wheels, yeah. Like a wheelchair.
A wheelchair.
It was a wheelchair, but it had wheels. Nur dolik, flaming, burning fire. Another type of fire. This regular fire, nur, and there is nur dolik, which is flaming, which is active. Let's see Rashi, some of these things, and then we'll see the Mitzvot. Rashi Pasuk Tes, Di Chorsin Rimiv. Suddenly, as I observe these four creatures, after observing the fourth creature, a throne, Kisos Hudlu, a throne was, now it says Bloshen Rabin, the exact precise Kor Savon, two thrones, not a single throne, a double throne, Kisos Hudlu, V'niskenu Leishei B'mishpat, and it was set there for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to see in a moment that the Atik Yamin, the one of day, that is old of days, refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. These thrones were set up for Mishpat. Echad Lidin, the Echad Litztaka Lishal, one for judgment, one for Tztaka. As we say in the Yom Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yerushal Kisei Din. And when Klal Yisrael blows the shofar, Hashem gets up from the throne of Din and sits in the throne of Rachamim. So there are two thrones. Din Rachamim, and you see it over here as well in Daniel, where we have these two thrones, one for Mishpat and one for Tztaka, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shift from one to the other depending on what we deserve. The Atik Yamin Yisiv, who is the Atik Yamin according to Rashi? It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yoishev Lumishpat, who is he sitting in judgment against? The nations of the world. Al Hamalchus Hazu, the Al Shelefonecha, concerning the Malchus, the current Malchus number 4, and the three previous kingdoms. Sheikh Yisrael Lufanov, Vihitziku Lubanov, who have angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have caused Tsar pain to his children. It's fascinating, according to the interpretation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extremely patient. Hashem is not going to judge even Bavel. Bavel, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu temporarily will cause Bavel to come to an end, and cause Modai Uparas to come to an end, and cause Yavan to come to an end, and allow Edom to exist for 2,000 years and more, Hashem still has not yet judged Bavel. Hashem has still not yet done Mishpat with Paras, Umadai, and Yavan. That's what it says. Hashem is now setting up these thrones to judge all of the previous nations. Just because Kadosh Baruch Hu has temporarily caused them to cease, their power is no longer, they have not yet got what they deserved. Hashem's punishment, Mishpat, is, Hashem is very patient. It takes hundreds, thousands of years until Kadosh Baruch Hu will give reward and punishment for those that, for what everyone will get what they deserve. Why is Hashem's dress, his clothing like his slag chavir, white like snow. Leladein avoinois amo. Hashem is going to whiten the sins of his nation. Usa'ar roshe, the hair of his head is kamar nike, is like clean wool. Me nake atzmoy mizchuyos sheyesh la'achim. Kodesh Baruch is going to take revenge from the mizchuyos. I'm sorry, Menachem means to cleanse. Menachem atzma mizuchuyo sheyesh lakum lufanov u'mishalein lohem kol sechorom bo'olam hazeh bivayikra rabba. So the reason why it's white is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove any good that the nations of the world deserve. All of their kindness will be rewarded in this world, Olam Hazeh, so that they will have no reward in the next world. So therefore, that's why it's white like wool. It's been cleansed. The nation of the world, they have some good things going for them. Hashem will clean, that refers to dirt, because in the big picture of things, they're wicked. So they will be cleansed from the good that they have done by giving them reward in this world, so there'll be nothing left for them to clear the books, so there'll be nothing left for them in the next world, and they will soon receive only punishment. Hashem will cleanse himself from any merit that he owes the nations of the world. He will clean that out. How? By umeshalein lohem kol zuchorom bo'olam hazeh. Period. This is what it says in the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pictured here with white hair that is clean like wool. He will reward them in this world. Next, then we go to Pasuk. This is what Rashi is. Now let's run very quickly to the Mitzudos. It just adds a little bit more of a bear, just very, very short. Pasuk Tes. Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes. Chazei. Roye Hayisi Kol Zos Ad Asher Hushlach V'Husam, until it was established. It was cast out from heaven, the kisei, a throne, v'zokin miyushuv v'yomim yoyshev al ha-kisei, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is referred to the zokin, will sit on the kisei, u'levushoy hoya loven k'shelek, u'sa'ar roshoy hoya k'tzemer noki, karsei, kisei, his throne was hoya nitzoysa shel esh, was from sparks of fire, galgale ha-kisei, the wheels of the kisei hoya eshboy, was burning fire. I did see in the Medrash that not even though the vast majority of the Rishonim learned that this atik Yomim refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a Medrash that refers to the Malachim. One of the Malachim in Shemayim, Michoel, if I'm not mistaken, who also is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agent in judging the nations of the world. Okay.
Isn't there somewhere that expression used in Smiros, one of the Smiros that I am not accustomed to saying, Atik Yomim?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
I'm not aware of that.
By Shal Shittas.
Yeah. Okay. So you have Atik Yamin. Okay. A lot of the things in the Zmiros come from Daniel, because a lot of the Zmiros are in Aramaic. Mm-hmm. And what do we have in Tanakh? Most of our Tfilos are taken from Tanakh. Mm-hmm. So when you have the Hebrew, you have Yeshaya, you have Tehillim. But when you have Aramaic Zmiros, you're limited in where you can find Sukkim that are Aramaic, a little bit in Ezra, and mostly from Daniel. Okay, let's go quickly look over Mincha L'Shabbos. Let's look at the Zmiros Askinu Sudasa Dim Hemnusa Shleim Osam Edvasa Demalka Kadisha Askinu Sudasa Demalka Dihi Sudasa Dizer Antin Vatika. So that's the Atik, Vatika Kadisha.
No, that's Atika Kadisha.
Kadisha. Okay, Yoimin. There's must somewhere else where it says Atik. Okay, fine, okay. Okay, let's go further. Pasik Yud. Nahar, now let's continue to describe this throne. Nahar di Nur. A river of fire. Nogeid v'nofek. Nogeid means Nimshach. Okay, it's very similar to nafek. Nafek means to leave, to depart. But nogei means extended and departed. Min kadamahu, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting on this throne, on these two thrones, the throne of Din and the throne of Mishpat. Elef alofin, 1,000 times 1,000 yisham shunei would serve malochim Elef alfin yisham shune, 1,000 times 1,000 serve Hashem. The ribo rivvon, 10,000 times 10,000 kodamohi yukmun, stand before Hashem. Yeah,
right after us, kingdoms.
Okay. B'nai Hechola, the Sifin.
About two-thirds of the way down.
Okay, two-thirds. V'chazmin atik yoimin. Okay. V'min chadei adei yehoi cholfin. Okay, so you see over here, this expression does appear in the very good. Okay, so we have over here, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne of Mishpat, there are 1,000 times 1,000, Ribu Rivavan Kodamohi Yikamun, and 10,000 times 10,000 Kodamohi Yikamun, stand for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Dina Yisiv, the judgment is present. The Sifrin Pesichu, and the books are open. The Sefer HaZichronos are opened, and they read by themselves. The Kodesh Baruch Hu goes and brings out punishment and reward. It's interesting, there's 1,000 times 1,000, then it says 10,000 by 10,000. So perhaps we can say a drush. I did not see this anywhere, that for, you can go learn both ways. There is the Kisei of Din, and the Kisei of Rachamim. So most of the world is subject to din, the umos olam, for all the sins they have done for Klal Yisrael. So for them, we need a lot of agents. We need the ribe rivavan, the 10,000 by 10,000. And when it says 1,000 by 1,000, that's for the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are ma'otim, Chazal say. There are very few tzaddikim. So Hashem does not need so many servants to reward the tzaddikim because there are not that many tzaddikim. So that's why it's broken up 1,000 times 1,000 on one side, 10,000 by 10,000 by another side. So we can say one approach that 10,000 by 10,000 for the Rishoyim, because there are many of them, and 1,000 by 1,000 for the tzaddikim, because tzaddikim heim ha'reisi b'nei aliyah v'heim u'atim. I've seen the Bnei Aliyah, and they're very, very few. Or we can say just the opposite, that for the Midah Toivas, Merubah Mimidah Paranus, when it comes to give reward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives that much more than when Hashem gives punishment. So for reward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bestow enormous reward. For that he needs 10,000 multiplied by 10,000. But for the Rishoyim, Hashem is not so quick to punish, to mete out a full degree, a dosage of wishes, so Hashem only has 1,000 by 1,000. Let's see, Rashi Pasuk Yud, Rashi Dinor, means of fire. There's a river of fire, Shel Esh, Nur Dolek, Esh Vara, two different types of fire. There is a Nahar, a river, Di, of fire, that's Nogate V'Nafek Min Kodamahi, which extends and comes out from before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then it says, further in the Pasuk, it says, this is really in the previous Pasuk, Di Nur Dolak is Esh Bara. Okay, Pasuk Nogate V'Nafek Moshech V'Yetze, as we said, Yisham Shunei La'atik Yoimin, and all of these Malachim are serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dino Yosef, HaMishpat Nisyashev Lifonav, the judgment is being presented before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the world, before Malchios, what they have done to Klal Yisrael during the history of the world. V'Sifrin Pesichu, in the book are open, Hasfanim Niftuchu Sifre Hoaveros Vihorosh She Osu, what they have done. Let's see the Mesudas Pasuk Yud, Nahar Nachal Shalei Shayinim Shach V'yetzim L'Milfanav, Elif Pa'am Elif, 1,000 multiplied by 1,000, Yishar Suay So the Rebo Pa'am Rebo, 10,000 multiplied by 10,000, Yamdu L'Fanav. So it's interesting, when it comes to the 1,000, it says Yishar, so they minister. And when it says the 10,000, it says they stand. It does not say that they minister, it could just be some type of some poetic expression, but there are definitely nuances here which have deeper meaning. Plus, next for the Dina, Adas HaMishpat HaYeshev Lufneim Sufam Pesuchem Zehu Ki Roh Es HaShchina. So what is this referring to, this part of the vision? So the Mitzudas is telling us that Daniel sees here HaKadosh Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Roes HaShchina Bidmus Zokein, Hashem appears in the image of a Zokein. Lohoiroi Shehi Mole Rachamim. Hashem, a Zokein, typically is an individual that's going through life, and the experience of life causes people to have pity. Ulavusha, his garments are kislag, like snow. Lerames kiyalbin avoin amo. This is what Rashi said in the previous pasuk. He will whiten the sins of his nation. Utsar rosha ka'amar naki, like white wool. Lerames sheyinake oisam mipisham. This is not like what Rashi said. Rashi said the reason why Hashem's here is white, it refers to the umos ha'olam, the reshoim. Hashem will clean away any merit that they have. How will Hashem remove their merits? By rewarding them, paying them off in this world, so they have nothing left to get in the next world. Rashi Mitzudos is following other opinions, who learns that it means that Hashem will cleanse the sins. It's like a doubling of expression. Hashem will first has white garments. He will cleanse one type of sin, and then the white here is also the same idea. Sheinake oisam mipisham. Hashem will cleanse Klal Yisrael from their sins. The abezin shel mala yeshvu lemishpat. These angels, the 10,000 and the 1,000 by 1,000, refers to the angels, the court, the Bezdin Shalmala, Yeshu Lemishpat, Vilufneim Sifri Azichroinus, Mimase Bnei Adam. Now we know that in Tanakh, that Hashem appears in many different forms. By Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem appeared like a Bachur, like a warrior, a young mighty warrior. By Har Sinai, Hashem appeared as a, Chazal say, as a sofer, a scribe. A sofer is not the same thing as a zokein. A zokein, an old man with white hair, a white beard and white hair and white clothing, is a different image than a sofer. A sofer is a scribe, a scholar. When Hashem gave the Torah, Hashem appeared. A scholar is not necessarily a teacher, not necessarily old. It's mature. You typically assume that the teacher, a sofer, bohir, a brilliant scribe, is a mature person. They're in their 40s, 50s, 60s, but not 100, or not 100 years old. It's a different mar. So we have all of our Tanakh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears with different forms to represent different midos. And the Chazal ask, I saw in the Medrash, one of the Mefarshim, we learn in Megillas Esther, that Haman said to Achashverosh, "You have nothing to worry about. You can issue a decree to wipe out the Jewish people." Achashverosh replied, "But I'm afraid for the God of the Jewish people." And Haman said, "He's old."
It's from Yesh No. It's the Medrash on Yesh.
Oh yeah. So elaborate. Yeah. Yesh noy am echad.
Yeah, but
Mufuzer mufarad beinu amim.
Old and tired and doesn't have the power that he has.
So where does that come from? With yesh no yesh? What does it mean? Yesh is. So it means he's the Medrash interprets the word somehow to mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu is old. He's too old and tired. Does not have the physical power to save his people. Where did Haman get this from? Haman couldn't just make up a story. The fact finders were on his case. They were all checking his speech. Where did he get this information from? He has to have based it on something. So the Mefarshim study got it from this pasuk. He got it from this. Even though this whole dream of Daniel was all doom and gloom for the Goyim, but it was known, the vision of Daniel, perhaps it was already recorded, it wasn't that many years before, but Daniel here said that he sees the Kadosh Baruch Hu in this vision, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Zokain. He's an old Zokain, white hair, white beard, white garments. So this is where Haman got the idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu already is too old to do anything for Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go now to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Chozei Haves. So at that point in time, I saw Chozei Haves. Beidayim then, Min Kol Milaya Rav Rivosa. Means because, Min means because of the sound of the words of arrogance. Di Karna Nimalila. That this little horn was expressing, as we weren't in the previous psukim, that after ten, there were 10 horns in this creature. This creature looked like a pig, had 10 horns. Suddenly, an 11th horn came forth. Rashi interpreted that to mean referring to Titos, who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Refers to Yeshu, Muhammad. Whether you want to learn, it refers to the Christians or refers to Islam. their leader, the one, their leader, their leader somehow, the Muhammad, the Rambam says, was a Meshugana. Ish Meshugah, I think the Rambam says. But somehow their ideas were expressed, if not by them, by others. And they spoke words of lies. And that's what it refers to when it says that the words came out, a mouth appeared and developed within the tip of the horn, of this little horn, and spoke. It spoke words of arrogance. So now Danila is saying that I saw as this mouth kept, opened its mouth and spoke arrogance. Because called Nilaya Rav Rivasa, because of the words of arrogance, Dikarna Mimalala, that were being produced, that were being spoken by this horn, Chaze Haves, I saw again, Ad Dikitilas Chevsa. The creature was killed, it was slayed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Huvad Gishma, and its body was destroyed. The pig was completely obliterated. Vihivas, it was given over, Lekedas Esha. Esha means fire. Kedas means a burning fire. It was given over to a bonfire. The body was consumed in a burning fire because of the chutzpah, not because of its actions, because of the harsh words of chutzpah, gaiva, and kfira that came out of this horn. It was killed and thrown into the fire. Okay, now just one thing. Just one thing I want to mention: if you study the words of Kabbalah, as Rabbi Axelrod will tell us, Zabaki. There is a concept in Kabbalah called the Nahar Dinur. Now, literally, it means, as it says in the pasuk, a river, D of Nur, fire. But it's called, it's in the world of Kabbalah, it's one word, Dinur, and this represents Gehenna. There are many different forms of Gehenna. There's a cold Gehenna. I saw somewhere that Gehenna, first there's 6 months of hot, and then there's 6 months of cold.
When Gehenna freezes over?
I guess so.
Yeah.
For some people, know, if you ask the average person, where would you rather live? You'd rather live in the North Pole or live, I don't know, down in the Amazon, the equator, where it's very, very hot. Some people are much able to deal with extreme heat better than extreme cold. Some people, they would rather go to a place where it's extremely cold than deal with extreme heat. Different people, different nature of what. Extremes. So dealing with extremes, someone once told me that when you're dealing with the extremes, you really can't sense. If a person would be suddenly thrust into a room that was extremely hot or extremely cold, it would take him time to figure out if it's hot or cold. Because when you're thrown into a world of an extreme, you're totally off balance. It's hard to sense immediately if it's cold or hot. When we say hot, we don't really know what hot is. We think 100 degrees is hot. That's not hot. Go into a furnace where it's 1,000 degrees. That's hot. Go to I don't know how cold you can get. That's so. There are extremes, but there's something called the Nahar Dinur Gehenim. There is a form of Gehenim called Dinur. No. Nahar Dinur, and this river comes out of the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says here, it comes here from Daniel, and it means there's instant punishment. When Hashem says guilty, on the key say Hadin, instantly the party that's guilty is thrown into the Nahar Dinur, the river of fire, which is cool. So this is the Gehenim is Nogeid V'Nofek Min Kodomohi. Gehenim is right there. Mishpat is present in front of the Kisei of Mishpat. Yeah.
Something like the river Styx. S-T-Y-X.
The river
S-T-Y-X.
S-T-Y-X.
The river of
Styx. I never heard this before. Alright, okay. Okay. Okay, but this is something to keep in mind. It comes here from this pasuk. If you ever study these in Yanim, you will discover Nahar Dinur. It comes here from this pasuk. It seems here it's something very innocent. There's a throne, and the throne has sparks of fire. The wheels are Nur Dolik, and there's a river of fire which Nogeid V'Nofek. This river of fire is Gehenim. It is the punishment that into which the wicked who are judged at this moment will be cast when they are declared guilty. Okay, now Pasuk Yud Aleph, we mentioned this creature spoke with arrogance and then was immediately killed and was thrown into the fire. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Yud Aleph, kol min kol milaya mikol hadvarim hagvayim, due to the words of arrogance, shaker midaberes, also chamos shalatik yom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger was kindled, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw the creature in, killed it, threw it into the fire. Ad kotlas chivosa v'huvad gushmei ovan gufei lekedas esha lelabas esh, to a kindling of fire, hu ishoi shal Yaakov. So Rashi here, Lefi Darkoi, in Ksuvim and the Neviim, is extremely midrashic, always focuses on the Medrash. Who is the fire? Eshe Shal Yaakov, Hoi Beis Yaakov, Esh. So they will be destroyed, Edoim will be destroyed by the fire of Yaakov. Let's see the Mesubis Pasuk Yud Aleph. Chazei Haveis, Chazei, Roya Hayisi Oz Machmas Kol Dibri HaGdolos, Asher Dibra HaKerna Ketano. Chazei, Roya Hayisi Ad Asher Bavur Zeh Nehergo HaChaya, the Chaya was killed, the Nevad Gufa, its body was destroyed, the Nitna L'Sreifas Eish. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yud Beis. U'sha'or Chevosa, and the other animals, Hediv Shol Tonhoin, their authority was removed. The Orcha, the Chayin. Orcha means it was arranged. Orcha means to arrange the Chayin, and the arrangement of life, the continuation of their existence, Yehivas Lahon, was granted to them at Zman V'idon, until a set time. Now this set time we're going to see at the end of this parak, the very end of the parak, that's really the Kates HaMashiach, what this Zman V'idon is. We have to remember this part of the dream, I didn't really explain this when we began the parak, it's first being presented here in its raw form. In a few moments, Doniel will ask one of the Malachim, can you please provide me with a Perush Rashi, with an explanation for the dream. It's very interesting. When it comes to Ein Chovush Mater Atzma Mibei Suasurim, a prisoner can't free himself from jail. You can do for the world, you can accomplish for the world the most incredible things. But the way the world is set up, you can't help yourself. A person always needs someone to help him. Daniel was the master dream interpreter. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Daryovish, all enlisted the assistance of Daniel. He was Daryovish's chief advisor. That's what we learned. After he was spared, he was elevated. After Daniel was spared,
although it didn't come from himself,
But Daniel interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel interpreted the dream for Belshazzar. He was the chief advisor for Daryovish. But yet, when it came to himself, he did not know what the dream meant. Here he was shown a dream. He sees four creatures. Rashi already and the Mitzvahs already have told us what the dream means. But they only told us what the dream means because of Midrashim, because of Maamar Chazal, and because of what we're going to see towards the end of the parak, and also in light of everything else that it says in Tanakh. So now we're able to go backwards and we're able to go figure out what it meant. But when Daniel here is seeing the dream for the very first time, he has no clue. He sees four animals. What in the world do these four animals mean? Four funny animals, a lion with the wings of an eagle, and then a bear, which also resembles a wolf, and then a leopard, and there are ribs, and then there's this fourth creature that looks like a pig with 10 horns, another horn, and one horn knocks out 3 horns. What in the world is going on here? Daniel, don't you know? You're the Chacham Mikol Adam. You were able even to tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was. Besides, let alone the fact that you're able to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. But the answer is, when it comes to yourself, you're helpless. And you see this so many times in life. You see people who are the great wise men, and they're able to help other people when it comes to their own family and their own personal life. They're clueless. They're totally lost. So Musar Haskell, Ein Chovush Mater Atzmoy Mibeis Chosurim, a Chovush cannot be Mater. Ein Chovush Mater Atzmoy Mibeis, that's what we see over here. So,
can you get one?
Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's go further. So we have here. So let's read this Rashi. This was the fire. Okay, so we're in the middle of Pasuk Yud Beis. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Yud Beis. Ushar Chayv saw Hediv Shaltan. The other creatures, their authority was removed. Ushar Hamalchios Hesiru Min Hashemayim. It was removed from heaven. Mimem Shal Tehoin, from their authority. After the fourth creature was killed, the other three kingdoms, their authority was removed as well. We'll discuss in a moment. The Archa b'chayin yihivas lahon uzman nosan lahem b'chayim. The three kingdoms did not have authority. But just because you don't have authority doesn't mean you have to die. You have a right to live. You have a right to exist. So they continued to exist. They remained among the living ad yoy moyed until a set time la'asalavo, to the time of milchamos goig umagog, until the time of milchamos goig umagog. Arucha means hamtana. There was a delay. Now what's happening here is something which is very difficult, and it's not what the average person assumes is the case. When we have the Dalai Malchios, if you ask the average person, tell me about the Dalai Malchios, they'll tell you, well, there not everyone is a bucket like Rav Michal, who wrote a whole book, 60 themes about Dalai Malchios.
Most people don't know.
Incredibly sideways. But if you ask the average person, they'll tell, oh, there are four Malchios, there's Bavel, Modei Paras, Yavon, Edom, and there's a Seder. First comes Bavel, and Bavel comes to an end. It falls off the face of the earth, it ceases to exist. Not only is their authority removed, they don't exist. They're swallowed up by Moda. Then there's Moda Yoparas. They cease to exist. Then there's Yavon. Yavon ceases to exist. Then there is Edom, when Edom is dominant, and it's going to go into the end of days until Mashiach, Edom, Yishmael, all of them come. And then if someone who's a little bit more sophisticated will tell you that really each one builds on the other. It's not that Babel comes to an end. They'll tell you that absorbs, subsumed, and it gets more complex. It morphs into a more complex creature. Modei Paras includes within it the nature of Babel. And then when we get to Yavon, it's not just Yavon. Yavon brings with it all the midos of Babel plus the midos of Modei Paras. But that's not what it says here.
No.
In this interpretation, and it's not necessarily, it's not a contradiction, because there are many facets, there are many angles, there are many perspectives, there are many different visions, and each one is true in its own right. And in this vision, it's extremely unique in that Edom, number four, comes to a complete end. There is no longer an Edom. Whatever number four is, I always loosely say it's Edom, which is the majority opinion, 99.9%. But if you want to be more complex, Edom includes within it also Yishmael and whatever else, or maybe it's only Yishmael. But Edom comes to an end, and guess what? The first three are still around. They're still there. There's a Bavel, and there's a Modei Paras, and there's a Yavon. They're still around. What's going on? Isn't there a Seder? They're still there. And then after they're there, they have authority. Then they lose their authority. But even when they lose their authority, they continue to exist as a nation. They're given life. There is what says here, the Archa v'chayin yihivas lahon. An arrangement of life is granted to them even though their authority has been taken away. And then they cease to exist. So we're going. So that indicates that just because the Golus of Bavel has come to an end, it doesn't mean it's completely over. Bavel no longer stood in the center stage. But Bavel, the way you read the Pesukim here, the face value, the transfer of Malchus from Bavel to power, from transfer of power from Bavel to Modei Paras, does not mean that Bavel's power, and certainly that its existence, has come to an end. Bavel continues to exist, and they continue to have power. We don't exactly know what that means historically, but they're there. And then there's Modai Uparas. Then Modai Uparas transfers its power. They continue to exist to Yavan. Yavan transfers its power to the fourth kingdom, Edom, but it continues to exist. Then the fourth kingdom gets a little carried away. It develops an 11th horn, speaks with extreme arrogance, Titos, or according to the Mefarshim, refers to Yeshu and Mohammed, Apikorsis. And then Hashem says, enough of this nonsense. I'm going to finish you off. The arrogance is too much. The fourth creature is obliterated. It's put to death. It's taken, its body is destroyed, and it's thrown into the fire. But the other three are still there. And the other three have power. And then a time comes, their power is also taken away, but they still exist. Until finally, comes a Zman v'Idan, two words which mean the same thing, a time and a period of time, which we'll see in more detail in the interpretation given by the Malach to Daniel. Then they cease to exist. So it's very different. Okay, I don't know more than this. I'm not trying to tell you any big secrets here, but it's very different here than the way the simple understanding of the sequential nature of the Dalet Malchios. Yeah.
The only thing I could suggest is that we know that there's an idea that every nation has a heavenly advocate.
Okay.
And maybe it is they. It says that when you destroy, when Hashem destroys a nation, he first
destroys the Sar.
The Sar.
Shalmaila.
So maybe.
But if there's a Sar Shalmaila, there has to be a parallel. If there's a Sar Shalmaila of a bubble, there must be some parallel in this world where the people, so there is the Midos of Babel continue to exist. It's a very interesting idea that the Dalet Malchios don't come to an end. They just transfer power, but they're always there, and the one that will come to end, the first one to come to end will be the fourth. That will be the first one that will cease to exist. But the other three will remain. It's going to go backwards.
They go down a lot easier.
Correct. Let's see this, the Mitzudos Yudeis, Mitzudos B'Ushar HaChevaseh. So here in Pasuk Yud Beis it says the other creatures, v'shar hachayos, heim shalosh harishonos. Now you have to remember the Mitzudah is always following the Ibn Ezra. Every time you look at the Mitzudah, it's not like Rashi. Rashi always says the fourth Malach, the fourth kingdom is Edom. And Edom, Rashi, Edom includes within it certain degree Shmuel. Whatever that's a complex relationship. But according to the Mitzudos, we have to always remember that the Yavon, where is Edom? Edom is part of Yavon. Because Yavon, Yadom, the Kitim are children of Yavon. So it's a natural extension. And Yishmoel is the fourth Malchus. The Shor Chivaser Shor Ushor Achayis Heim Shalosh Harishonos Heediv Husar Memshalton. This is after the creature is killed. After the fourth creature is killed, Yishmol is killed. Then later, the other three, their authority is removed. Just because their authority is removed does not mean that they cease to exist. V'hamtona Zman, and a delay of time. Lahashir b'chayim nitan, that they can remain alive is given to them. Their authority is removed, but they continue to exist ad until zman v'idon, until a set time. Rotzolaymar ad eis kavua, until a set time v'yirmas asher b'avu, and period. And that, what that time is, we're going to see later on at the end of the parak in much more detail what that time is, when Mashiach is going to come. Now, what does all of this mean? These two psukim, pasuk yud aleph and yud beis, according to the Mitzudos, he's really saying something very similar to what Rashi. She says, what appears simple interpretation, the Yirmaz Asher, what does this all mean? Asher Bavur Divrei HaMelech HaMizrach, due to the arrogance of the Melech HaMizrach, Yoiva, now that refers to the fourth kingdom. This is consistent with his previous interpretation, the previous psukim, that the fourth creature, the Chazir, the fourth creature which has 10 horns, and then the small, and which then has a small horn, refers to a king that comes from the east, that conquers, he comes to the nation of Yishmael, he embraces their religion, he becomes one of them, and in the process of becoming one of them, he knocks out three of the kingdoms, and there were 10 horns. And according to the Mitzudos, the 10 horns refer to 10 forms of 10 dynasties of Yishmael. And then suddenly sprouts an 11th horn. This refers to some king that's going to come from the east, from the far east. He's going to come into the Middle East. And he's going, or the middle, or whatever, he's going to come into the wherever he's going to come. And he's going to conquer from the 10 nations of Yishmael 3. And he's going to take the lead. And then he's going to speak with great arrogance before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and wage a Melchem Estas against Klal Yisrael. And Hashem's going to kill him. Hashem Abu Dibi HaMelech HaMizrach Yoivar HaMokoim Kol Malchus Yishmael. So not only will he be executed, he's going to cause the other remaining seven nations of Yishmael will also cease to exist.
Maybe it's the Shiites and the
Sunnis. Okay, it's all a matter of interpretations. Ushor Malchiyo Yisra'akum. Fine, all of the 10 nations of Yishmael are all gone. There was 10, came in on the 11th. 11 conquered 3. And then in the process, he formed an alliance with the other remaining 7. And he spoke with Chutzpah. Hashem now wipes out 7 plus this number 8, this number 11. 11 plus 7, 7-11. Right? That's what you get, 7-11.
How convenient.
Because, remember, it was 10, then comes 11. 11 wipes out 3. So number all we have left is 7 and 11. And they join together. 7-11 joins together. And then 7-11 goes bankrupt. They're gone. And what are you left with? All the other stores on Avenue M. Ushar Malchiyos Akum, Yusar Memshaltam, all the other Malchiyos, then later their authority will cease. Kol Echod Bizmano, each nation in its time. Aval Yashiru B'chayim, just because they will lose their authority, they will not be recognized as a world power, they'll exist. You can't deny them the right to live. Yishadu B'chayim, Yashiru B'chayim, Ad Boyam L'Mulchama Im Goig Melech HaMogoyik. Until the Mulcham Goig Melech HaMogoyik, the end of days, the Oz Yiplu B'Noiflim, and then they will die. That will be the time. Let's do one more Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Chazei Haveis B'Chezvei Lelia. I saw all this. I saw this whole vision, the four animals, and the Atik Yoimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down. And after HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down, and then Hashem judgment and killed the fourth and killed the first three. Chazei Haveis B'Chezvei Lelia V'Aru, and behold, I saw something else. Now it doesn't say this anywhere in the Mefarshim, but if we were to be consistent, this would be a new episode, another dream,
right,
a third dream. But no one says that. I did not say this. Did not see. It's a new dream. It said it very clearly when it came to the fourth creature. But let's assume that's the case here as well. Chazeves bechazve lelia in another dream. Va'anu, and behold, hine im anone shemaya, a cloud descended. Who was on the cloud? Who was the passenger? Kivar enosh, a human being. A human being was riding in this cloud. Osehavo, he came. He arrived, and he was dropped off. The ad atik yemaya mita, and he was deposited. He reached the individual, the zokain who was sitting on the kisei of mishpat, who was an old man. The ad until atik yemaya, the old man mita, he reached ukidomohi hak revuhi, and he was presented. Let's see Rashi pasik yud gimel kibar enosh also humelech hamashiach. Melech HaMashiach now arrives. V'yad atik yemaya, shoha yeshe b'mishpeh, k'lishpeh, who's sitting b'mishpeh, don es ha'umos, mata higia. Let's see the mitzudos pasuk yud gimel, chazei, roya ha'yisi b'maris shina salayla, when I was dreaming, v'hinei, im anani shmaya hoya bo, kidmus ben odom, v'yal melech HaMashiach yirmas, v'yad atik higia, ad hazogain, hamiyushin biyame, vikuivu, oiso lufanaf, and he was presented before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there is a drash, let me say one medish. The medish is a contradiction. How will the Melech HaMashiach arrive? One pasuk says he will come in oni, v'roichev al hachamar. And there's another medish that says that he's going to come here in a cloud. V'aru im anone shemaya. The Melech HaMashiach is going to arrive in a white cloud.
Yeah.
So the voice in a Chanami depends on how he comes. If we merit, ita achishana. If we merit, that it will come in its set time. He'll come on a donkey. We don't merit. The Jewish people will not merit that Mashiach should come on. Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring Mashiach because for Hashem's reasons. L'ma'ani esa, I will bring Mashiach for my own reasons. It's not in our schus. Our representative will come as a poor man riding on a donkey, a jalopy.
You can do this the hard way. You can
do it the easy way. But if we marry, it will come with dignity. It will come with miracles. It will come in glory. Anani akavot. He will arrive with royalty on
stretch limo.
On a white cloud, not in a black limo, but in a white cloud, dignity. So here, just to keep to your mind, that this where it comes from, this contradiction of Ani is going to arrive in a white cloud. Okay, so we'll stop here. We're in the middle of the dream.
One thing.
Yeah?
If Mashiach arrives after the destruction of the Yumas, isn't his job to do the battle?
Yochemes Chagamagog? And Echnami, I don't know. These are very difficult issues. When, right, according to this passage, the Melech HaMashiach is coming after. Well, it doesn't say that.
Well, it's all it says.
He's coming. No. All it says here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the fourth Golos. Edom is over. Number four is, whatever number four is, completely over. Number one, two, and three are still around. They exist. They're alive. Their authority has been taken away from them. So who's in control at this moment? But what does it say in the pasuk? Their authority is taken away, but they continue to exist. Until when? Until a set time. So that, and then Mashiach arrives. So Mashiach is arriving before Melchemes Gog Magog. These other three nations, Babel, Pars, Mada, and Yavan, will cease to exist, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, at the time of Melchemes Gog Magog. But that has not yet arrived. That has not yet happened. And Mashiach now is coming. He's coming at this point in the middle. So the big question is, who's in control? We always assume by the average person, there is always someone that's dominant. There is either Babel, Parasumadai, Yavon, Edom, and then there is Klal Yisrael, Melech HaMashiach. Klal Yisrael is in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. Here we see no one's in control. The fourth Golos is over. The other three, were shocked to learn, are still around. They just were not dominant. Then they also are removed from office, but they exist. And Melech HaMashiach did not yet come. So who's in control at this point in time? No one. The Olam Shel Hefker. That's what it says. And then Melech Mashiach arrives.
There's no power vacuum for long.
Okay, we don't know. We don't really understand. But the way it's presented here in this specific vision, again, you have to take this vision and study it together with all the other multiple themes in the Sefer.
Yeah. Don't we have
They were all Sancheriv. Sancheriv has come along and has mabalbel the world. So there are no nations any longer. You're right. That's a very. I don't know the answer. That's a very. That's another question. Even if you're going to suggest that they were not completely destroyed, but what about Asher? Melech Asher came was mabalbel all the umos olam. There's no longer a Mitzri, an Adomi. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that we use animals as names? Aries, Doe, Zay, Tzvi, using animals.
Okay.
Because we see here always, referring to animals. And then in the old shuls, you had paintings, depicting
lions at the top of the Aron Kodesh.
All animals.
So it means, the Pasuk says.
Why do we make use? Because animals they show, as names, you
because know. they are to explain mitos of Klal Yisrael or of a particular shape that's related, comparable to certain animals.
Well, you have in the Birchas Yaakov. The Birchas Yaakov, Yaakov compares the Shvatim to various animals. And Moshe Rabbeinu also compares the various Shvatim to animals.
It goes back to the Shvatim.
Yeah. Yesh v'yesh. The old shuls
were the Mazalas. They were not always talk to animals.
That's a different one.
They had to do
it. You're saying about kingdoms. That maybe we could say that when strategy needed, that Bogol.
Yeah.
He represents power. When comfort and leisure,
okay.
Or a sumodai,
correct.
They exist.
Okay, they still exist today in what their midos, correct? Not necessarily as a nation, but as a culture, as an ideology, as a value in society. a value and an attitude in society that continues to exist ad hayam hazeh. Correct. That's
or profession.
Correct.
Back
yeah.
to the
answer about a
moment. What are chayos of
poets? Some, I don't know, some type of malachim. Malachim. It's what it's called. In heaven, there are chayos hakodesh. There was a rabbi that was once giving tish, and all of the chassidim they started pushing and shoving. So the rabbi said to the chassidim, behave yourselves. You're a bunch of chayos. So the rabbi said, chayos hakodesh.